And take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua was mentored by Moses. He was a protege of Moses. Joshua was there during the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Joshua was there during the wandering of the wilderness. Joshua was there when water came forth from the rock. Joshua was there when the spies were sent over into Canaan to spy it. He was one of the select few that got to go and spy out the land. Joshua, he stood in the shadow of Moses almost all of his life. But he wasn't the leader. He was following the leader. Joshua was learning during that time. He was learning who God was and how God works. And a lot of lessons of life come from not being a leader, but by being a follower. Some of the greatest lessons of life come from following and not leading. Moses had a great relationship with Jehovah God. And Joshua stood in the shadow of that. And I'm sure he observed and he watched. He stood there and saw Moses come down off Mount Sinai with the glory of God upon his face. He saw many wonderful things happen because Moses was described as one of the greatest prophets. And they learned, the people of Israel learned, that a greater than Moses would come. And he would be that one great prophet that if you did not heed him, you would be destroyed. That's what Peter said in his sermon in the book of Acts. In Joshua chapter 1, there's a transition. Now, let me pause just for a minute and say this by way of introduction. I was speaking a few weeks ago with an old educator. And we were discussing various things. And he had mentioned to me the impact of humanism in the school system. How that we were discussing some of the ways that the me generation and the millennial generation respond to some of us older people. And he said there's been embedded into the society and into the educational system, and particularly into this other generation, this generation that we were speaking of, this upcoming generation, a mentality to not get wisdom from the parents or from the elders, but get your guidance and understanding and wisdom from your peers. And folks, that's impacting us in a great way. I believe in learning from the elders. Paul said the process of the gospel and the doctrines and the theology of the church is that he would commit those truths to faithful men, and then they would take those same truths and commit them to other faithful men. That's the process. Joshua was a learner. He wanted to learn who God was and how to walk with Him. And what a great privilege to learn from Moses. I mean, wow. And we were discussing that, and there's a lot of people that wouldn't take advantage of that today. If Moses were in our midst, they would prefer to be educated and guided and learn the things of God from their peers rather than a great man like Moses. And folks, that's scary. I don't know how this secular humanism has gotten into the church, but it's very much alive and well. And we need to stop it out, and I believe the power of God can do that. The impact of it upon our society, we're feeling the impact of it in a great way. And this shift from, rather than receiving instruction from your elders, you're going to receive guidance and direction and instruction from your peers. I believe the older generation has a lot to offer us. And we ought to tap into that. I've often said that my dad is one of the wisest men I've ever known in my life. He only has like a sixth grade education, but he is a wise man. He has many years of experience walking with God, and I can learn from that, draw from that. And Joshua was one of those that did. You know, in Proverbs 13 and 20, it says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." He that walketh with, lives his life among wise men will be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I guess we could call it the Rehoboam syndrome. We've got a serious case of Rehoboam syndrome. You can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 12. He was the son of Solomon. And Rehoboam, rather than getting the advice for how to handle the situations in Israel as a king, rather than getting advice from the advisors of his father, Solomon, he sought the advice from his peers, from the other young men. And he destroyed the unity of Israel. And the nation was split in half, divided. You can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 12. So we see the impact and the effects of this leader seeking the advice of his peers rather than seeking the advisors of the old men, those that advised Solomon. And the impact was great. Joshua wasn't one of those men. He stood in the shadow of Moses. He learned from the best. And it made him a great leader for the people of Israel. He had learned. He had a keen perception of who God was and how he worked. And he utilized that in leading the people of Israel into Canaan. I want to read these verses taken from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. I've already given you my first point. Joshua's keen perception and knowing who God was and how he worked. Folks, that's important. Isn't that important? To really know the true and living God. To know what he expects from us. To know how he operates. God has never changed. The principles that we find in the Old Testament in how God works and who he is can be applied to us today. These verses that I'm about to read in your hearing, this particular principle of these verses can be taken and used through every situation of your life. In every situation of your life, this is the blueprint, this is the plan that you ought to adopt and use, and you will be successful and prosper. Do you want to prosper? I believe everybody here today has come to church and we want to be successful in serving God, don't we? I mean, I don't believe you'd be in church today if you didn't want to be successful in your Christian walk and in your Christian life in service unto the Lord. I believe all of us want to be successful and we want to prosper in the ways of God. And it's a very simple diagram. It's a very simple principle. It's a very simple plan. It's a principle of faith. It's trusting in God, believing God, and obeying God. And it's a very, very simple principle. You know, I love these verses. So I want to read them to you. Let's start in verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Now, we can see how Joshua was sent at the feet of Moses and is classified as a servant of Moses. And I wish I had time to go through the book of Numbers. I wish I had time to go through and show you how that Joshua was there and how that he ministered to Moses and was always available and accessible at the beck and call of Moses. Let's read on. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, there was about 2 million people, maybe more than that. And these weren't the most easy. They weren't the easiest people to get along with. I mean, they'd love you 1 minute and hate you the next. I mean, even Moses, when he made the mistake and he smote the rock instead of speaking to the rock, he said, "Must we fetch God, fetch water for me and God fetch water for you rebels?" He called them rebels. They were, to some degree, rebellious in many ways. But, Joshua, listen to me, Joshua was asked to do an impossible task. I mean, he really was. To take this band of people that were fickle-y, I mean, that were complaining and murmured all the time, and they were just slaves that had come up out of Egypt, and he was to take them into a country called Canaan, where there were walled cities, there were giants, and they had chariots. That was a fearful thing for them, remember? These folks had chariots, they had armies. I suppose you would think that at this juncture in Joshua's life, Joshua is a great captain and a great commander of the people of Israel, that God would give some plans for how to be strategic in conquering the land of Canaan. You know, maybe break them up in particular military forces, choose particular commanders, give us some special insights into some special weaponry and armor that we might go and fight the battle. What's the plan? How are we going to be successful and victorious when we cross over Jordan? Well, let's listen and find out what the plan is. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall trod upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Isn't that a great promise? Everybody says that's a great promise. Man, that's a good plan right there. Oh, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Say, strong and very courageous. And that's the plan. That's the plan for service. That's the plan for prosperity and success. That's the plan. Be strong and very courageous. Now, yesterday I was at a dance recital. My granddaughter Lila, she was going to be disappointed if we didn't travel to Indianapolis for a 5-minute dance recital. And of course, what Lila wants, Lila gets. Every grandparent says amen. So We left late Friday and got up there and went to revival yesterday. Faith was in revival and ran from the revival to the recital, and we were waiting for her to get up and do her little dance. And of course, there were others that went in and danced, and there was a group of 5 or 6 year old little girls that got up to do their dance procedure and their tap dancing, and they're dressed in these some of them $70, $80, $100 outfits. You know, this is a big thing. There was like 500, 600 people. This was down at the Shriners Auditorium. It had a great big balcony. I mean, this was a master production, and we're talking about a huge stage and hundreds of people in the audience, and these 5 and 6 year old, you know, they dance out and they're going to do their little dance. But there was one little girl, and she stood there just outside of the curtain doing one of these numbers. And the whole audience was just taken. Now, nobody was watching the other 15. Okay, they were doing really good with their kicks and their twirls and all that the stuff. That, who was watching them? Nobody was watching them. All they were watching is the one cowering in the corner and afraid. And the crowd was really getting into it. Everybody sensed it. Everybody felt it. Her lack of courage. Her fearfulness, cowering in the corner. And everybody was questioning in their mind, was she going to ever muster the courage and join the rest of the company and do the dance that they had all practiced for and practiced for and practiced for. And suddenly she put an arm down. Somebody had to be coaching her outside of the curtain. Come on. Come on. The whole crowd was saying, come on. Come on. Join the band. Come on. Finally, she put the other hand down as she kicked a little leg. Her head was still bowed. By the end of that, she was right there with the rest of them. The crowd burst out in applause and in celebration of her mustering the courage to get in there and join the rest. And I thought about some people in this auditorium today. In a spiritual way, some of you have never mustered the courage to come out from among the world and be identified with the body of Christ. Some of you are up in years and you've been saved, but you've not joined the church and been baptized. There's some of us that we're just cheering for you. Amen? Wanting to coach you and encourage you. Come on! Come on! Join the greatest institution in all the world. Come join us in working and laboring for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong and very courageous and join this band of faithful few serving God to His glory and honor. I'll fill the baptistry up today. Amen. I will. Oh, let's pray. Hey, man. Let's be like whoever was like that audience that was just, you know, we were all just, come on. Come on. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You know, Jesus on many occasions talked to the disciples and He said, be not fearful, but believe. How many times did Jesus say, be not fearful, but believe? Be of good courage. Be courageous. Okay. Oh. Now, it's not said just once, but it's said 3 times. Okay. In the course of this, God, the Holy Spirit, is saying to you this morning, be courageous. Be courageous. Be strong. You know, the Bible tells us that we ought to be strong in the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear. God's not giving you the spirit of fear. That is of the world, that is of your own depravity, that's of the devil, but that's not from God. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Oh, I prayed for your boldness and your courage today to serve God. Amen. The next generation is going to need boldness and courage to serve God. Bible says that we're in some very deplorable times. The Bible teaches us that the Spirit speaketh expressly, that difficult and trying times are coming. Amen? Yeah. Difficult and trying times are coming. The Spirit has warned us. The Holy Scriptures have warned us about these deplorable and difficult times. My friend, listen, you're going to need God. Christian friend, you're going to have to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Take courage in the Lord. Let me just say this about courage. The basis of our courage is our relationship with Jesus Christ. The basis of our courage is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, Joshua was told that he was to be of good courage. He was to be of strong faith. Be strong and courageous. We know he had a difficult task before him with this fickle people. We know that there were many giants in the land and tall, tall walls that needed to crumble. He had no plan other than God's plan. He was to go in and trust the Lord and trust the Lord for his safety. Our prerequisite for service. Our prerequisite for service is to be strong and courageous. The prerequisite for service is to be strong and courageous. Brother Ryan preached his first sermon over at the nursing home this morning. I heard he did a good job. He wanted to preach to a little crowd first time. How'd that work for you? I heard they had one of the biggest crowds they ever had. Yeah. Yeah, but he's going to have to be strong and courageous. He's going to have to face this world and all the demons and evils out there, and he's going to have to preach the word. Be in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not heed sound doctrine, but they shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they're going to turn away from the truth and be turned to fables. But you watch, therefore, you endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Be strong and courageous. That's a prerequisite for the service of all of us, not just preachers, but all of us as Christians. We have similar challenges like Joshua, don't we? We have many similar challenges. And we have the right to claim the same promises that are given to Joshua. Because this is a principle of how God works. Now, we're not facing Canaan, but we're facing other challenges. And we know that the Bible is a book of principles. And we need to learn those principles and apply them to our lives. And so the principle is very simple. We need to perceive who God is and how He works. We need to have the prerequisite for service and be strong and courageous. He was given an overwhelming and impossible task. But the Lord was going to be with him. I think about the Great Commission to the church. Isn't that an overwhelming task? To take the gospel to the whole world? Huh? To go into all the world and preach the gospel? Wasn't that the commission and the command that we receive from Jesus Christ? But we need to be as a church strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and of good courage. For unto the people shall be divided this inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest... Here's another part of the plan. Okay, be strong and courageous. Notice here, the preeminency of the Word of God. This is primary. This is important. The Word of God has to be important. Now, this is the only plan that he's got, okay, to go in, is to obey God and do His Word. That's it. This Christian walk is not that difficult. It's not that complicated. And listen, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Jesus lightens our load because He is with us. He says this, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. Everybody say prosper. Yeah. Whithersoever thou goest. Listen, you obey the Word of God, the Word of God that I gave to Moses. You obey the laws of Deuteronomy. Obey that. Do the Word of God, okay? Obey the Word of God. Obey it. This book of the law. Folks, that's our strategy as a church. Can I get an amen? To do the Word of God. To keep the Word of God. To let the Word of God into us. Let it into our hearts and our minds and our lives, to observe it and to obey it, right? Yeah, we are to take of the Word of God. The Word of God was influential in bringing about our salvation, right? What did Peter say? Being born again, not by a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the Word of God. Listen, generations come and go. This world will come and go, but the Word of God will abide forever. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. It's got durability beyond your life. I believe when we stand before the great white throne of judgment, the books will be opened. One of those books will be the Word of God. You disagree with that? Read our articles of faith. We will be judged by the Word of God. That's what we believe. James said that we need to lay aside all of this filthiness and naughtiness, and we need to receive with meekness. Everybody say meekness. Receive with meekness. Folks, listen to me. God's smarter than you. And the only way we can show the world, and that we can prove to God that we believe that, is by submission to the Word of God. We need to submit to the Word of God. It has authority over your life. And the plan is quite simple. We do the Word of God. We be courageous and bold, and God will bring the victory. The promise is, I'll be with you. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. You just serve and obey me. We sing that song sometimes, trust and obey. Man, that wraps it all up, doesn't it? Trust and obey. Well, we trust in Christ. We trust in His power and His Spirit. But we obey the Word of God. We trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The Bible says the Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, right? We just have to meekly receive the Word of God that's able to deliver us. It says that in James chapter 1 and verse 21 that it will save us. It will deliver us. What will deliver us? The Word of God. It'll save our souls. That's not talking about regeneration, your redemption, the night the Lord saved you. It's talking about continuous, perpetual deliverance in your life. Jesus said the Word of God would sanctify us. Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. Truth. There's one absolute in the world, and it is the Word of God. It's absolute. All right. So we have to perceive who God is and how He works. The prerequisite is for us to be strong and courageous. We've got this plan that's laid out before us. The prevailing of the Word of God in our lives. Because we know without the Word of God, we won't be sanctified. We won't be clean. You want a dirty church? You forsake the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says sanctified. The church is sanctified and washed by the Word. By the Word of God. Now let me close. He said, be strong and courageous. Take this Word of God and just believe it, obey it. Meditate on it. Listen what it says in verse 8. This word of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you see that? Being absorbed with the Word of God, then you will have a prosperous way. Then you will be successful. He says, don't you look around you to the left or the right. You just obey the Word of God. That's the key. Everybody say, that's the key. Keeping the Word of God is the key to success. Okay? It is the success of life. Now, I guess there's a lot of different ways to define success. A lot of people define success as being wealthy or having a lot of money or having a great career. But the success of a Christian is pleasing God. Glorifying the Lord. Not offending the Lord, but glorifying the Lord. So he's telling him, you gotta read it. You've got to believe it. You've got to let it. You got to be absorbed in it. It's got to get in your mind. It's got to get in your heart. Folks, listen to me. Reading it isn't good enough. You've got to meditate upon it. Meditation is what moves it from your mind into your soul. And that's where you hide the Word of God, in your heart. It comes through the process of meditation. And so he says, you know, you meditate on it. Look at verse 9 again. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. He was promised victory. He was just to take the law of Deuteronomy, and he was to just read it and meditate on it, let it in his heart and his life, and obey it. That was the game plan for being a great captain of deliverance. Isn't that what Jesus did? Didn't he keep the law for us? Did not he obey the Father's will? Did not he say, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me? Wasn't he absorbed with the truth of the Old Testament to do and keep all that was commanded? Did not he keep every jot and every tittle of it? Didn't he nail it to the cross for us? To give us life? The promise for success. Everybody say, for success. It was right here. You know, we think as a church we need all these different special things, you know, to trap people and lure people and do this and do that. But if you get a band of people committed to being absorbed in the Word of God and keeping His commandments, keeping His Word, you'll find great success among that band of people. You'll find great prosperity. I want us to stand to our feet this morning. I want us to sing a song. The Bible says in Psalms 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man. Everybody say, blessed is the man. Do you want to be blessed, prosperous, and successful? The key to that is found in the Word of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He's absorbed in the Word of God, the psalmist said. He said that man will be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. He said he will bear fruit in his season. His leaves will never wither. And whatsoever he shall do, it shall prosper. Y'all believe the Bible? Key to success. See it right there? Just be strong and courageous in the Lord. Were they strong and courageous? They crossed into Canaan, and the first obstacle was Jericho. Can you imagine that walled city? They drove chariots on that wall. It was so thick and so tall and so big. This was an obstacle that was impossible. Here they didn't have no weaponry. They had no chariots. How are they going to get the victory? How are they going to win the victory over such obstacles? I tell you what they did. They found themselves in the center of God's will, walked around the wall, and the wall came down. Amen? I'm telling you, someone in the center of God's will is a mighty force in the world. A mighty force in the world. Nobody can stand against you when you're in the center of God's will. The call this morning is to be strong and courageous. Be in the center of God's will. Let the Word of God absorb you, and I'll tell you what. You will be successful and you'll be prosperous. You'll be like that tree planted by the river. Amen. Get there. Be courageous and strong. Find your place there. Do we have foes and adversaries? Do we? Absolutely. Just like Joshua did. And we've got to be strong and courageous as we sing. Is there somebody here? You need to find yourself in the center of God's will. And you know, one of the ways that you find yourself in the center of God's will is by following the Lord in baptism. Can I get amen? We call that the first act of obedience. You may have been saved and nobody knows it but you. What a great day to make a profession of faith. Amen. Put your light on the candlestick. Join the Lord's church. Be baptized. There are people, and I had this thought. Now, bear with me just a minute. There are people who struggle with doubt. They've been saved. They have a time and a place. But the devil has put a wedge between them and that time and place to where they're not sure if that was good enough. Right now, the Lord will speak to you by His Spirit, and He'll let you know by telling you. Y'all do believe that, don't you? He'll come to your soul. He won't speak audibly. But He'll speak to your soul in that still small voice. And He's going to say to you, it's time to be strong and courageous. And when He does that, you need to cross over the Jordan. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm asking you to listen to the Lord. Now, I don't tell people they're saved. I'll let the Lord do that. I don't tell people to join the church. I'll let the Lord do that. Okay? But the interesting thing about God, there are times like in Joshua's life, pinnacle times, okay, pressing times, where he says, okay, this is your time, right now, okay? He was saying that to Joshua. God was speaking to Joshua and said three times, be strong and very courageous. I'm with you. You just do what the Word of God says right now. I am with you. And we're like that crowd. We're cheering for you. Amen? God's people are for you. They're not against you. They're rooting for you. Amen? Come on. Muster the courage. Get in with the rest of the band. You know? Step in line with us. Come!